This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your copy of God's Word, and I want you to stand if we can do that. Rarely do I preach a message that has two parts, but I laid out a message and it had 11 points in it, and I realized this was two messages. So we preached part one last Sunday. We'll do a quick review and then we'll get into the final 5 points today. Acts chapter 1, this is what God's Word says. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." We don't know a lot about this man, Theophilus. We know he was a Roman official. We know that his name means friend of God, apparently a special man. We also know that the book of Luke and the book of Acts were addressed to him. When Luke wrote the book of Luke and when he wrote the book of Acts, he addressed it to O Theophilus. "Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," after he went to the cross, "by many infallible proofs," by many infallible proofs. As I say, folks, because you have a full heart doesn't mean you have to have an empty head. "By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. I want you to get that. "Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." A brief word of prayer. God, as we bow our heads in your presence, I cannot, you never said I could. You can, you always said you would. I pray that you would anoint my lips to speak, but I pray you would anoint people's ears to hear. And God, I ask for a man, woman, boy, or girl that would be in this service, that would know you, that's watching online, that doesn't know you, that today they would come to know you in a real and wonderful way. May the people see Jesus. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about, what did Jesus do after the resurrection? What did Jesus do after Easter? We had a wonderful, wonderful Easter here at Rock Springs Church. Literally a total attendance of 13,147 people. 13,147 people Easter weekend. But here's the greatest news. 178 people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. On that first Easter, Jesus resurrected. And you know, many times we think about, well, he resurrected and then he went to heaven. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says for 40 days in the resurrected, glorified body, he walked around on this earth. Do you ever think about that? What would you do? What would you do if you just had 40 days? What if it was your last 40 days? I heard about a man who goes to the doctor and the doctor says to him, you're in critical condition. There's great infection in your body. You've got infectious rabies. You've got infectious rabies. And he said, at the most, you have 40 days to live. And when he said that, the man pulled out a piece of paper. And the doctor said to him, what are you doing, writing out your will and testament? He said, no. He said, I was just writing out the names of all the people that I want to bite before I die. Amen? What if you only had 40 days? What would you do? Well, here's amazing. Jesus had 40 days, and even these 40 days, we have record of 11 appearances. 11 appearances. And what I want to do is I want to skim the first six. I preached about it last week. You can go back and listen to the message. But I want to skim the first six appearances, and then I want us to camp a little bit as we talk about the final five. Because in these 11 appearances, I believe there's a lesson for us in every one of them. The first lesson is this. Jesus has a word for the hurting. Jesus has a word for the hurting. Jesus's first appearance in the resurrected body was actually to a woman. It was a woman named Mary Magdalene. A woman literally that lived in Magdala, which was notorious for prostitution. It was not only notorious for prostitution, but it's clear in the Bible that Jesus had cast seven devils out of this woman. You know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen? That Jesus Christ can change anybody's life. Jesus Christ can change anybody's life. I mean, she was the very first person to view the resurrected Savior. And the Bible says that when she went to the tomb, she thought they had taken his body away. And she was crying and she was sad. And there in that garden, she saw a man. And she thought that man was the gardener. But he wasn't the gardener. He was the Savior. And Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus knows our name. And if he can name all the stars in the space, if he's got a name for every star, he knows your name. And he knew that woman's name, and he said, "Mary." And he had a word for her. And I want you to know something. Perhaps today you're hurting, but I've got good news. I've got good news. Jesus has a word for the hurting. Amen? Jesus has a word for the hurting. You say, "Well, Pastor Benny, I can't listen for a voice. Like, I'm not right across from Jesus like she was. I can't listen for a voice." Well, folks, when you can't listen for a voice, you can look for a verse. And Jesus has a word for the hurting. Let me tell you the second appearance. The second appearance, the lesson we learn is Jesus is worthy of our worship. The second appearance actually happened with three ladies: Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Salome, the mother of James and John. And here's all I want you to see, folks. When they encountered Jesus, the Bible says they just fell down. And they just grabbed him by the feet and they worshiped. They grabbed him by the feet and they worshiped. You know what that tells me? It's okay to be expressionary in our worship. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not." That's okay if you're not. But by the way, folks, it's okay if you clap your hands. It's okay if you lift your hands, amen? It's okay if while the preacher's preaching, you say, "Amen," hint, hint. It's okay. It's okay to be expressionary. Let me tell you something, folks. We'll go to an athletic event, especially here where we live, Georgia football. We'll go to an athletic event and act like a wild Indian on Saturday and come to church on Sunday and act like a wooden Indian. We don't want to do that, amen? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ didn't do anything for those three ladies that he didn't do for us. He bled, he died, and he rose again the third day for our justification. Let me tell you about the third appearance. The third appearance teaches us that Jesus can turn you around. Jesus can turn you around. Well, there was two disciples. It was on the Emmaus Road. One was named Cleopas. We don't even know the other's name. But they were disheartened. They were discouraged. They were dismayed. They were devastated. They were heading out of town. But they encountered Jesus. And the Bible says, folks, when he broke the bread, they saw it was him. And by the way, when we break the bread, whether it's playing a musical instrument, It's teaching a Sunday school class. It's preaching in the pulpit. It's leading worship. Whatever our capacity is to break the bread, they don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus when we break the bread. But when he broke the bread, there's no doubt in my mind, they saw the nail prints in his hands. And these guys were heading to Emmaus. But if you read the story close, they turned around and started going back to Jerusalem. Here's what I can tell you. No matter what your situation, Jesus Christ can turn you around. No matter how far you've gone, Jesus Christ can turn you around. No matter what lifestyle you're in, Jesus Christ can turn you around. No matter what vice controls your life, Jesus Christ can turn you around. No matter how far you've sunken, oh, that's good news that Jesus can turn us around. Amen? Let me tell you the fourth time he appeared. He appeared to Peter, and it teaches us that Jesus doesn't give up on people. Jesus doesn't give up on Peter. It's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. The Bible says there that in 1 Corinthians 15 and 5, he appeared to Cephas and then the 12. Apparently, there was a private meeting with Peter. The one who denied the Lord. The one who said, I don't know him. But you know what it tells me, folks? Jesus doesn't give up on people. Now, here's what's amazing. He denied the Lord, folks. And 50 days later, he preached on Pentecost. And there's 3,000 people got saved. You know why Jesus uses people that have messed up? Because there's not any other kind. There's not any other kind. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he never, ever gives up on people. Whew. Peter denied him publicly, but he forgave Peter privately. Let me tell you the fifth time he appears. He appears to the 10. They're in a room. They're scared to death. And the message there is, Jesus can give you peace no matter what the circumstances are. They were in this room and they were in lockdown, but rocks and tombs can't keep him in and walls and rooms can't keep him out. And Jesus just walks through the walls and he says, guys, I know you're scared to death, but I want to give you peace. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus can give peace no matter what your circumstances are. Jesus can give a peace that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Jesus can give a peace that passeth all understanding. Let me tell you about the sixth time he appeared. He appeared to the 11 and Thomas was in this crowd. And the message to Thomas was, Jesus can handle our doubts. See, folks, there's only three groups of people in the world. Those that have doubted, those that will doubt, and those that are brain dead. See, doubt's not the opposite of faith. Unbelief's the opposite of faith. Doubt's when I have faith, but I'm struggling in my faith. And Thomas was struggling, but he took his doubts to Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus can handle every doubt that you have. Now hit those fast, and let's get the final five, and you can stick a fork in me, and I'll be done. Number seven. Jesus teaches us to obey him and leave all the consequences to him. Jesus teaches us to obey him, ladies and gentlemen, and leave all the consequences to him. You say, preacher, I can't live the Christian life. Yes, you can. All you got to do is to do the next right thing. All you got to do is do the next right thing. You just obey him and leave all the consequences to him. Now, let me tell you what takes place. It's a week after Easter. And the disciples are on the beach. Some things never change. A week after Easter, a lot of our people were on the beach. Amen? I mean, it's a week after Easter, and literally they're on the beach, seven of them. And Jesus shows up to the seven, and Jesus says, guys, have you caught anything? They said, we hadn't caught a thing. He said, cast your net out in John chapter 21 on the right side. Now, here's what they could have done. They could have said, Jesus, get real. You're a carpenter. We're professional fishermen. Why don't you stick with carpenter? carpentry work. We know the Sea of Galilee. We know it's 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, 200 feet deep at the deepest point. We're professional fishermen. Why don't we stick with the fishing? But you know what they did, folks? They dropped the nets. And you know what happened? They caught 153 fish. That's pretty good. 153 fish. Here's what I'm saying to you, folks. Here's the message. You obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. You obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Well, I don't feel like going to church. Well, you obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. And He says we ought to go to church. You obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. I have a man in our church. He's a little older than me. He's a businessman. He said, Pastor Benny, he said, I went in partners with a young man. I said, you did? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's good. Well, he said, let me tell you about it. He said, I went into partners with this young man who is a devout Christian. And by the way, that's the only people a Christian ought to go into a partnership with anyway. Why would you want to be unequally yoked together? You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm dating an unbeliever. No, 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 no. We don't believe in missionary dating. No, no, no. Christians date Christians. And listen, listen, young lady, if he don't love Jesus more than you do, you probably don't need him anyway. He said, we've gone into business. I said, that's great. He said, well, let me tell you what he said to me. I said, what has he said to you? I got to be careful not to call his name. He said, if I'm going to be your business partner, we got to tithe off whatever the business makes. And he said, son, you don't understand business. You don't understand expenses. You don't understand payroll. He said, I don't know about any of that, but I understand the Bible. And if I'm going to be your partner, we're going to tithe off whatever the business makes. And my friend said, Brother Benny, we started doing it. And he said, God has blessed our socks off. Now, when it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. We started doing it. And God has blessed our socks off. I said, well, friend, he told you in Malachi he'd open the windows of heaven and give you a blessing. All I'm trying to say, folks, I'm trying to preach, and some of you are not excited about this point. But obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Let me tell you about His eighth appearance. It was actually to 500 people. You say, Pastor, He appeared to that many? Oh, sure He did. Look what, Jesus teaches us that there's life after death. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look what it says. This was written to the Corinthians, and you've got to understand something. The Corinthians did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the resurrection. But look what it says. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now look what verse 5 and 6 says. He was seen of Cephas. Remember, he was seen of Peter. And then of the 12. Now wait. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present. What does that mean? It means they're still alive. But some are falling asleep. He said, wait, guys. Y'all are having a problem believing the resurrection. Some of the 500... that seen him in the resurrected body, they're still alive. It shouldn't be a stretch for you, because you've got friends and family members that saw the resurrected Savior. Think about this. Jesus died on the cross. Where were the disciples? They were in a room. It was all locked up. They were scared to death. But later, according to history, Peter here we're going to crucify you. Crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Thomas, we're going to kill you. Do you mind putting a spear in my side so I can die like my Lord? Bartholomew, we're going to kill you. It's okay. They filleted him like a fish. Simon the Zealot, we're going to martyr you. We're going to cut you in two. It's okay. You say, Pastor Benny, what made the difference in these men? They saw the resurrected Savior. They saw the resurrected Savior. And they said, we're not worried about death because we know the one who is the resurrection and the life. Ladies and gentlemen, man may live for what he knows to be a lie, but he's not going to die for what he knows to be a lie. His ninth appearance, and I've got to hurry. His ninth appearance teaches us that family really does matter. That family really does matter. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? Well, his ninth appearance, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 7, was to James. You said, Preacher, who was James? He was Jesus' half-brother. He was raised in the same home Jesus was raised in. Well, tell me about James. James and the four brothers and at least two sisters didn't believe in Jesus. You say, wait. They were raised up in the home with him and they didn't believe in him? Look what John 7 and 5 says. For neither did his brethren believe in him. But after he was resurrected, he went to James. And he said, James, I was the one. I was the one. And you know what that tells me, folks? Family really does matter. Family really does matter. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, we've got a need in our family. The church needs to meet it. Let me tell you something. Needs being met doesn't start with the church being meeting the needs of the family. It starts with family meeting the needs of the family. Pastor Benny, we've got a need and we need the government to help. It doesn't start with the government helping folks. It starts with families helping families. Let me tell you about his 10th appearance. And in the 10th appearance, Jesus teaches us what is most important. He teaches us what is most important. On two different occasions, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 32, and in Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, he said, guys, I want to tell you about a very important meeting that's going to take place on a hillside near the Sea of Galilee. He told them this meeting was coming up. And he said, there's a very important meeting. I want to talk to you about what's most important. And folks, it's important for us today to hear what's most important. And at this meeting, this is what he said. And Jesus came and spake unto them. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. God has given us power. God has given us power. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have God's power for God's purpose. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. Folks, we have a wonderful church. Tremendous church. So many things in our church that you may not even be aware of. We have a cancer support ministry. Recently, we had a color run. 550 runners showed up. raised $27,000 to help people with cancer. In our Macon campus, we have a ministry inside of our campus called United Pink. It helps families, women with breast cancer. It helps women with breast cancer, them and their families. We have a ministry called JBOC Counseling. Free counseling. Free counseling for people that need counseling. For every three people that's under a doctor's care for physical, for every one person that's under a doctor's care for physical problems, there's three people under a doctor's care for emotional problems. We have this counseling center. We have the Potter's House. They're here. Women that had nowhere to go. Women that may have been in jail, may have been in prison, may have been on the streets. But now they've got somewhere to come. Miss Cherie, we appreciate you all and the ministry that you do. We have an outreach ministry in Griffin where we provide meals and clothing, food for people that are destitute, have nowhere to go. We have three medical clinics, one here, one in Forsyth, one in Griffin, Georgia. When I came as pastor of this church, I had no insurance. I had no recourse. I just prayed I wouldn't get sick. Prayed my wife wouldn't get sick. A lot of people today don't have any insurance, but we want to provide medical care for them so they have a place to go to. We have learning centers for small children at this campus and our Macon campus. We literally have a school that's raising up champions for Jesus Christ. A school that's raising up champions for Jesus Christ. We have a recreational ministry. Three out of every four people every day will read about, participate, or watch an athletic event. I said we need to use sports to reach people for Jesus. That's why we have all the recreational fields. But I want you to know something. Our number one reason for existence, get this, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. I'm trying to wrap up. But J.C. Ryle said, the highest form of selfishness is a man content to go to heaven alone. The highest form of selfishness is a man content to go to heaven alone. Folks, you never know the impact of a reach. You never know the impact of a reach. 45 years ago, at the lowest point of my mother's life, she went to her first cousin's house. At the lowest point of my mother's life, I would have never became a Christian had not my mother became a Christian. And at the lowest point of my mother's life, her first cousin said, let's call my pastor. And that young pastor in his 20s came and led my mother to faith in Jesus Christ. That pastor who led my mother to Jesus Christ is in our service today. Gary Jackson, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Thank you. Folks, you never know the impact of a reach. I'm done. I got to give you the last one. Jesus teaches us that he's coming back. The highest point in Israel is the Mount of Olives. Jesus walked out on the Mount of Olives. He walked out on the Mount of Olives and He let them know he's coming back. Do you realize this, folks? The New Testament 318 times says Jesus is coming back. Do you realize the Bible says 1,845 times that Jesus is coming back? Do you realize there's 27 books in the New Testament and 23 of them say Jesus is coming back? Do you realize for every one time the Bible says he was coming, he was going to come the first time, it says eight times that he's coming the second time? They asked D.L. Moody, D.L., why were you so effective in your preaching? He said, every sermon I preached, I believe that Jesus might come back before the end of the sermon. D.L. Moody said, the devil does not want us to see the truth concerning the second coming of Christ, because nothing would wake the church up so much. Nothing would wake the church up so much. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back, and it could be today. He walked out on the Mount of Olives, and in Acts, he said this. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses. Get this, folks. Not prosecuting attorneys, but witnesses. You'll be able to share what he's done for you. You'll be witnesses. Both in Jerusalem. Now wait. Where were they? Jerusalem. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm going to get signed up for the mission trip. Well, do. But folks, let's don't fly over a mission field to reach a mission field. Start right where you're at. Jerusalem, I'm glad you're going on a mission trip, but you might want to start by inviting your neighbor to church. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, he was taken up out of their sight. And then the Bible says in verse 10 and 11, some angels appear. And those angels say, why are you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus that was taken up, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want to be ashamed that he's coming, as the Bible speaks of. He's coming back. And I want to be all in for Jesus. Amen. I want to be all in for Jesus. What this world has to offer doesn't hold much attraction for me. I want to be all in for Jesus. Little girl said, Mommy, could Jesus come back today? She said, oh, honey, he could come back today. She said, Mommy, could Jesus come back any minute? She said, honey, Jesus could come back any minute. She said, well, Mommy, if he could come back any minute, we probably need to comb my hair. Well, I don't know what that means to you, but we need to comb our hair. We need to get ready. We need to get ready, because Jesus could come back any minute. Amen. He's in heaven now. I'm going to preach a message about what he's doing up there in heaven. But those appearances mean something to us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.